M. Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition, presented by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. A failed Republican candidate who's accused of orchestrating drive-bys on Democrats in New Mexico will spend the next few weeks in jail. CBS's Steve Futterman has details.
Solomon Pena will remain behind bars at least until his next hearing on February 1st.
You will be held without bond until that hearing.
The former GOP candidate lost his election for a state seat last November, then claimed the election was rigged. He is accused of hiring four men to spray bullets at the homes of two county commissioners and a pair of state senators, all Democrats. And CBS News has learned police are investigating a possible additional shooting incident on January 5th. Steve Futterman, CBS News.
A man has been charged with the gruesome murder of his wife in Massachusetts. Norfolk County Assistant DA Lynn Beland.
At 4:55 a.m. on January 1st, he searched how long before a body starts to smell. At 4:58 a.m., how to stop a body from decomposing.
Prosecutors say Brian Walsh looked it all up on his son's iPad. The former Minneapolis police officer who killed George Floyd is appealing his state conviction. Defense attorneys claim Derek Chauvin didn't get a fair trial because of all the media coverage and unprecedented security precautions. Aides to President Biden say he will not agree to spending cuts in exchange for a debt ceiling increase.
As the national debt hits its statutory cap this week, the Treasury Secretary says extraordinary workarounds should stave off default until late spring. Congressional Republicans say they'll demand spending cuts before agreeing to a debt ceiling increase. Here at the White House, that's a non-starter.
We're just not going to negotiate about that.
Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre says there should be no conditions attached. A first-ever U.S. default could run global bond and stock markets off a cliff. Stephen Portnoy, CBS News, the White House.
At least 16 people were killed today in a helicopter crash near Kyiv, Ukraine. Ukraine's president led a moment of silence via video for the victims at the World Economic Forum.
14 of Ukrainian families lost their loved ones today, and many more losing daily because of the war.
And he says the attacks won't stop without more help. The Justice Department says the owner of a Chinese crypto exchange got arrested for money laundering. Deputy Attorney General Lisa Monaco.
Hydra buyers funded illicit purchases of illegal drugs, stolen financial information, and hacking tools from crypto accounts hosted at BitsLotto.
Its biggest partner was in a dark net marketplace shut down last year. This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual Insurance.
The Shaw 101 FM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell with this news. Wisconsin voters will not be asked about abortion rights this spring. The Wisconsin Senate voted down the proposal from Democrats yesterday. Instead, Republican questions about unemployment and bail will appear on statewide ballots. Democrats say the public supports restoring abortion rights. They say Republicans only want the other questions on the ballot to increase GOP turnout for the state Supreme Court race. There's progress on plans to build a new youth prison in Milwaukee. The Common Council has approved the proposed lockup on the city's north side. It will replace the Lincoln Hills and Copper Lake youth prisons in northern Wisconsin. The measure now goes to the mayor. In sports, the Bucks beat Toronto last night 130-122. Wisconsin beat Penn State 63-60. Marquette hosts Providence tonight. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
It's a new year, and because we're excited about our new and still growing Civic Media network of radio stations, it's time to do something really big. How does a $1 million advertising giveaway sound to you? Our celebration is your chance to work with Civic Media's amazing sales team, creating a radio advertising campaign promoting your business for free. Save the date. The $1 million advertising giveaway is only happening on Thursday, January 26th. Full details on our website, civicmedia.us/million.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Up North News Radio is Wisconsin's new choice for progressive talk about important state issues, from the team that brings you the news through social media, newsletters, and here on the radio. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Join me weekday mornings from 6 to 8 a.m.
Women get a lot of advice about self-care these days, but one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
A progressive voice from Beaver Dam to Kenosha. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at WAUK. Native Roots Radio is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
WallyDina.com.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut any cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. And we discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Wendy, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
This portion of the show is brought to you by MNSure, MNSure, Minnesota Insurance Marketplace, where individuals and families can shop, compare, and choose health insurance. Go to mnsure.org.
Hey, we got a jam-packed show, Wendy. I'm about to sneeze, so I'm going to hit the sneeze button. But we have Shannon Housley, president of Stock Muncie Band of Mohican Indians out of Wisconsin on today. And, of course, your sacred animal section. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Lots to talk about. Lots of animal advocacy things happening here.
Right on. Hey, so we talk about news, and we have news that you don't hear anywhere else. So why don't we quickly run to Ogama with the news that we don't hear or you don't hear anywhere else. Welcome, Ogama.
Bonjour, Anin relatives. This is Ogama Ganu Akwe here with some news and information for you on Native Roots Radio. First thing I want to talk about is tonight and tomorrow at the Drum Hall at White Earth Tribal and Community College in Minomen is Winter Legends as told by Mary Moose and Joe Sutherland from 5 to 8 p.m. Again, that's tonight and tomorrow, January 18th and 19th from 5 to 8 p.m. at Drum Hall at the White Earth Tribal and Community College in Minomen, Minnesota. This is a wonderful time to hear winter stories told by Mary Moose and Joe Sutherland, as well as, connect with community. And, the gathering is free and it's open to the community and food will be provided. So come and spend some time with your community and take some time to go see that event. Another event that's coming up Saturday, February 11th, is the Intertribal Snow Snake Festival out on Madeline Island in Wisconsin. There is going to be an MC warming tent and food and drinks available this year. People are encouraged to bring additional goods to cook or feed. There's going to be an outside lakeside fire. There's going to be awesome events and games, but you just have to complete the challenge, which is getting to Joni's Beach on Madeline Island. There are three main ways to the island. First is the Madeline Island Ferry. The number there is 715-747-2051. The second way is the Madeline Island Wind Sled, 715-747-5400. Or you can take the ice road from the Bayfield Ferry Landing to La Pointe. The number for that is 715-747-5400. You're also welcome to snowshoe, cross country, snowmobile, dog sled, or walk over. Registration for this event is on site when you make it to the island. Bring your own gas and buy supplies on the mainland. Please come self-sufficient and be safe. Youth exhibitions and instruction are going to start at 10 a.m. on Saturday, February 11th. The student throw begins at 11 a.m. Then men's and women's track start at 1 p.m. for 55 and older, and men's and women's track for 54 and under start at 3 p.m. Check out the Intertribal Snow Snake Festival Facebook event page to make sure that you are RSVPing, and you can get the necessary numbers that you need to contact the organizer. It's going to be a really great event. Wish I could be there for that one. More locally here in Minnesota, I wanted to touch base here that the Minnesota House, for the first time, has approved a cannabis legalization bill, and they're the first committee to do so. It was heard over on Wednesday of last week, and the Minnesota House of Representatives heard the legalization of adult use cannabis in Minnesota bill, and it's a complicated situation. Medical marijuana has been legal in Minnesota since 2014. And last year, the legislature legalized recreational cannabis edibles for adults, provided each edible contained a maximum of 5 milligrams of THC, and only if that THC, which is the chemical in marijuana that makes you feel high, if that THC was derived from hemp, which hemp has such a very low level of THC that it takes a massive amount of hemp and significant processing to be able to derive anything out of it. However, there's now a House bill that's very similar to a recreational cannabis bill, and the version would permit persons 21 and older to use or possess or transport cannabis paraphernalia. 2 ounces or less of cannabis flower or 5 pounds of less in a person's residence, 8 grams or less in a concentrate or edible products infused with 800 milligrams or less of THC. There's some other provisions in here regarding public and private areas as well. And there would be several legal limits on marijuana use and civil penalties for violating those limits, including driving under a motor vehicle while under the influence of cannabis and giving cannabis to a person under the age of 21 or using cannabis as a promotional gift. However, the bill now has to make a dozen committee stops because it's going to make really significant changes in many parts of Minnesota's law, because we have to look at labeling of cannabis products, taxing of cannabis products, creating and funding programs to combat cannabis abuse. There's dozens of types of licenses for growing and selling and transporting and testing, strengthening regulation for low-dose hemp-based products, plus eliminating criminal penalties for cannabis possession, and of course expunging the criminal records of people previously convicted of low-level cannabis offenses. So this still has a long road, but there is some things that are happening here in Minnesota on the road to legalization for adult use of marijuana products, and just wanted to touch base on that for anybody who had not yet heard or have been following on that. Just a friendly reminder that marijuana and hemp are actually different. Hemp does not have enough of the chemical THC to get you high when using that in a traditional recreational way, whereas marijuana does. However, hemp does have some other really powerful properties, including the ability to make textiles, possibly make batteries, so that we would not have to use and mine really toxic minerals to make batteries for electric vehicles and other things, as well as, you know, a lot of other uses when it comes to protecting Mother Nature. So just wanted to touch base on that for those of you who might be following that here in Minnesota. Nationally, I wanted to touch base on what's happening down in Ecuador. In Ecuador, major indigenous organizations said that they are preparing to hold protests in mining areas to attempt to stop extractive activities near their communities. Reuters reported on this on January 12th. The indigenous organization CONAIE, C-O-N-A-I-E, led protests last year that paralyzed the country for about 2 weeks. And there's an anti-mining group that also voted during an assembly to oppose the expansion of mining in Ecuador because of the social and environmental harm to communities there. The two groups voted to prepare conditions of territorial defense in areas where mining companies were present, and added that the measures will be progressive. The leader of the Conai group says that they want transnational mining companies and mining business people in the country to not invest in more mining because they are going to defend their land. They did not specify when those protests might begin, but the organization, the Indigenous People and Environmental Organization, say that the conservative president there has not complied with deals made after last year's demonstration to place a moratorium on mining in ancestral Indigenous territories until the legislature approves a law to outline community consultation rules for projects. That sounds oddly familiar to what's happening here in the U.S. From January to October of 2022, mining brought in $2.3 billion in export revenue and was about 42% higher than the same period in the year before, down in South America, in the Ecuadorian region where this is taking place. So, you know, Indigenous people all over the world have been fighting for the use of land and water and for meaningful consultation before those harmful things are brought into communities. So solidarity to those relatives down south of the border. Borders are imaginary, but, you know, our southern relatives, I want to send out solidarity to you as you stand off mining, which is something that's being worked on here in Minnesota as well. Something that I hope to talk about either tomorrow or sometime early next week. I want to touch base on what's happening with mining situations here in Minnesota because there are several. We also need to touch base a little bit on updates on what's happening after the Line 3 construction came through Minnesota. There's several problems with that regulatory agencies in Minnesota have not been very forthright in talking about, and you know, that makes me nervous. So we'll be talking about those issues a little bit later on next week. Back to you, Robert.
Hey, thanks, Ogama. Up next, President Shannon Housley, Stock Muncie Band of Mohican Indians out of Wisconsin. We'll be right back after this short break.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
When we heal from our traumas,
when we face our fears,
let go of our addictions,
when we relearn our values,
when we live our teachings,
respecting our elders,
cherishing and honoring our children,
when we honor and take care of our spirit,
there will be no room left for sexual violence.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, Cudahy, to all my friends and relatives in four directions, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm here to ask you for your support. Finding honest, Native-centered news is not easy, but with your support, we're able to provide accurate information about Standing Rock, Line 3, treaty violations, and COVID-19 in our Native communities. Please visit Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon and donate if you can. That's Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon. Pinigigi, and thank you for your support.
COVID-19 is still here. It's not too late to get your booster. Staying up to date with vaccines can help you protect yourself from getting seriously ill from COVID-19. Get your booster at the 360 Colburn Clinic, operated by St. Paul Ramsey County Public Health, for a chance to win one of five $500 Visa gift cards. Each week in January, a winner will be selected from eligible persons age 5 and up who got their COVID-19 booster. To learn more and schedule your appointment, visit ramseycounty.us/booster.
This is Winona LaDuke of Honor the Earth, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio. I'm Awake.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Hey, we're here with Shannon, the president of Stockbridge Muncie Mohican Nation, Shannon Housley. Thank you so much for coming on. It's exciting to have you on, Shannon, because the Civic Media Network, which is in Wisconsin that we're on, is now grown to 11 stations. So we're 11 stations in Wisconsin, along with the mothership here in the Twin Cities and all over Turtle Island on Facebook Live and YouTube. But it's great to have you on and represent Wisconsin in a good way. Ho-wa.
Happy New Year and ho-wa to you and Wendy. It's so good to be here and Happy New Year to your listeners. And right, it's a groundswell. It's exciting when, you know, something like your the way that you are trying to connect Indigenous communities and educate non-Indigenous communities is amazing. And the fact that your syndication has grown as quickly as it has is not surprising. But I think, you know, I your tagline, "I'm awake," is exactly what's happening. We're seeing this across Turtle Island, where you finally have engagement across different sectors of people and that enjoyment of different races of people, because I think the thing that connects us all is we all belong to the human race. So it's really exciting to be a part of this exciting movement for both of you.
Yes, so thank you. And it has been exciting. It's been great to meet people like you. I ran into you in Washington, which was awesome to see. I flew in there for just the day or day and a half for the ICWA hearing, and you were there too, representing. And it's good to let our allies know what we're doing and what we're all about. And so that's why I thought it was important to have you on and talk a little bit about yourself, especially for the people that kind of know about your tribe or kind of know about you in Wisconsin. And now we have this big influence or big coverage in Wisconsin now. So it's kind of fun.
So to just give your listeners a little background, by no means is there's no such thing as the last of the Mohicans, clearly, as depicted in history books. Our tribe migrated through that wonderful Indian Relocation Act. We originated from upstate New York, and then we spent some time in New Jersey and then Massachusetts during the Civil War. And then we came across the Ohio Valley. We came to Calumet County and Kaukauna, and then we acquired our original, now our ceded territory of Shawnee County from Menominee Nation. So we've been in Wisconsin a few short 100 years, unlike your tribal nation, who is Indigenous of Wisconsin. But there are 11 federally recognized tribes in the state of Wisconsin. Stockbridge Muncie is one of them. We made that journey across with the Oneida tribe of Wisconsin. So we have connections and relatives associated there. But I also serve as the president of the Great Lakes Intertribal Council, which also comprises of the 11 federally recognized tribes of Wisconsin. And we're a policy-based board and an advocacy-based board. And we get together frequently to discuss all things that relate to our tribal communities, especially right now, Robert and Wendy, as we're coming on the other side of the pandemic. And there's an all-time high with the issue of mental health. And then the opioid crisis and epidemic that's been occurring for some time in America. And, you know, you're starting to see significant deaths on tribal nations. And so there's been a significant call to action by tribal nations, both individually and collectively, to fight this endemic, because we recognize one of the most important things that we have, or our most apprised and important resource, are our people, and especially that of our young people. Great Lakes, myself, we've been working on a project, an adolescent wellness in treatment facility that's culturally centric. It is, to say the least, a labor of love. It was 25 years in the making, and now we are happy to report we're at the final stages, and it is our hope that we will break ground this spring and finally start that journey to healing for our young people. But we're not going to stop there. We recognize that this endemic has been a systematic barrier that has existed since first contact. So what we're going to do is not just treat the child, we're going to treat the whole family. And then we are going to go back into our communities and find our own reconnection to our language, our culture, and our traditions, and bring about our own healing in a more holistic way.
Wow, that's exciting. Really, really exciting. And I think we're trying to do a few things like that, that I should shoot you an email later in Minnesota here, too. That was beautiful what you said. And I think that's something that Native Americans, we can really buy into. Because whether it's sweats, whether it's elders telling creation stories and bringing us close to our way, and that we don't need these drugs and be proud of who we are. It's been, you know, since the pandemic, the opioid addiction's been doing push-ups in the parking lot, and it's something that we haven't talked about because we've been really focused on that. But I agree, President. It's there in a big way still.
It certainly has. And, you know, we're now in the latter part of the 21st century, we're dealing with the opioid endemic. But as I had pointed out earlier, there has been systematic barriers to our people since first contact. And so there are so many issues that we're starting to contend with. But I also want to remind our listeners that we're also resilient people, you know. We've been fighting pandemics since 1492, right? So this is nothing new. And I think really, Robert and Wendy, that's why tribal nations responded to the pandemic in the manner in which they did. They put their people first. They were resourceful. They knew what to do. They followed the science. They tried to do everything to protect their most prized resource, which was our people. And so, you know, with that said, It's we're at a time and place, too, an exciting time and place where it's a time of truth and reconciliation from the boarding school experience. And finally, those discussions that are long overdue and some acknowledgement to the atrocities imposed upon our people and just trying to bring healing around that. You know, it's not a matter of just trying to re-traumatize our people, but it's an opportunity to learn and grow from their traumas, and also to celebrate their strengths and to thank them for our survival. Had it not been their will and their spirit to survive, you and I wouldn't be here today. So there's a lot to be celebrated also.
Wow, just powerful words, and we got less than a minute. It's exciting to hear you, and I know so many strong women, and including my wife, and women leading the way is the Native way, you know, and it's really great to hear you, and I hope everyone feels what I feel about this strong president here of her nation. Very amazing, and great words. Thank you so much for coming on tonight.
Well, and thank you for having me, and thank you for the continued platform and amplifying those important issues. I think Native Americans have a lot to teach the world, you know, historically and otherwise. And right now, we're at a time and place where a lot of people we're in a place where there's some issue around identity and who they are, not specifically just with our people, but generally speaking. And we need to have these robust conversations, and we need to build confidence. But like my grandmother said, if you don't know who you are, you're not going to know where you're going. And that's critical foundationally. And be proud of that, you know, but it starts with how we even perceive ourselves. You know, somebody, I speak to a lot of younger people about that. And my first question to them is, who are you? Where do you come from? Who are your people? What is, you know, but when you have a check the box endeavor, like you're identifying as Caucasian or as white, what exactly does that mean? You know, you have roots to your language, your country, all of those things. And I think it's time, it's well overdue that we start pushing that policy where there's historical and relevant teachings within our school systems where children take pride in who they are, and they understand the plight of their ancestors and how they arrived here even. So with that said, I just think we have a lot of work to do. So,
well, wow, great words. And from now on, I'm calling our white allies European natives or European Americans.
I think it's critically important. It really is. And take pride in who you are. You know, there's language and traditions and associations, and it's important to know that.
Wow. Shannon, thank you so much for stopping in. We got to make this happen more often. Really appreciate it. We were just talking to Shannon Housley, president of Stock Muncie Band of Mohican Indians in Wisconsin. Peenagigi, thanks for coming on.
Anishik, and Happy New Year to everyone. Be well and be safe.
We'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
WAUK 540 AM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. A failed Republican candidate will be back in court next month in New Mexico. Solomon Pena is accused of plotting the shootings at Democrats' homes after he lost the midterms.
Mr. Pena, you will be afforded a hearing on the state's motion for pretrial detention. You will be held without bond until that hearing.
The husband of a Massachusetts woman who's been missing for weeks is now charged with her murder. Norfolk County Assistant DA Lynn Beland.
Rather than divorce, it is believed that Ryan Walsh dismembered Anna Walsh and discarded her body.
The Buffalo Bills are in good spirits ahead of their playoff game against Cincinnati this Sunday. Head coach Sean McDermott tells us DeMar Hamlin's back in the building.
He comes in and really just started really today or yesterday and just trying to get back to a little bit of a routine and just getting himself acclimated again and taking it one step up, you know, baby step at a time here.
That's because he's still recovering from cardiac arrest. CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
WAUK 540 AM, Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matner with your headlines. A man wanted his uncle to be given ivermectin to treat the COVID-19 infection. The hospital said no. Now the Wisconsin Supreme Court decides that the hospital should have been forced to give him the medication. Alan Gall suing Aurora Medical Center in Summit because doctors there refused to give the drug to his uncle. The case will decide if courts can force doctors to provide treatments that the medical community finds substandard. A new statewide task force will fight human trafficking and support survivors. Attorney General Josh Call announcing the Wisconsin Anti-Human Trafficking Task Force, which combines federal, state, and tribal law enforcement and victim service providers. Their job is to ensure justice is brought to human traffickers and to supporting survivors. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Are you dreading going into work every day? Do you want a career where you can earn more and feel appreciated? If you answer yes, then Sigma Castings, a division of Sigma Engineered Solutions in Marquesan and Jackson, is your answer. They are more than a company. They are a family of dedicated experts that span the continents. Here are a few ways they make you feel appreciated. Entry-level pay is $18 an hour with regular performance reviews. After 90 days, you get 80 hours of vacation plus 11 paid holidays. They will give you a $2,000 sign-on, stay-on bonus. They offer a robust benefit package with low premiums and great coverage, and their 401k will blow you away. Now hiring first shift, Monday through Friday, 5 a.m. till 2 p.m. Start your new career today at Sigma Castings in Marquesan and Jackson. Find them on Indeed or call 920-260-8560 and wake up happy to go to work.
My mother was very familiar with her neighborhood, but one day she stopped at the stop sign and she wasn't even really sure where she was at.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Stuck. The Great Wall Restaurant is located just north of 50th and France on the Edina-Minneapolis border. More at GreatWallEdina.com.
Bonjour. I am Oshawashko Gijig. I'm from Red Lake Nation, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, we're here with Bob Blake from Red Lake. I just have to say that. I love saying that. But we're here with Robert Blake, owner of Solar Bear, a solar company, and just an all-around dude, you know. You got the nonprofit going on, and you're speaking all over Native country, and you spoke to my tribe, which I really appreciate about it. You're the expert, and we just love to see you. Can barely see you, kind of in the shadows right there. It's kind of spooky.
Yeah, I just noticed that. My other light went out on the other side of this. I'm in one of my rooms. I just got home. I was traveling. Yeah, sorry about that, everyone. I have one of these lights. I didn't plug it in yet, though, but
that's cool. We're radio show. It's all right.
So yeah, no, but I'm speaking next month in at the Seminole in Hollywood, Florida, at the Renewable Energy Conference, and then New Orleans the next month, talking about the Funders Network is having a conference around, they want to fund more Native American orgs. And I'm going to be talking there. And, you know, we've got a lot of great Native American organizations that, you know, aren't being funded. They're not, getting the necessary resources that I believe they need. We've got a lot of great talent out there in Native country. And I want to go ahead and talk about that out in New Orleans next month, or March, in March, Robert.
Wow, I'll have to try and get out there if I can. Geez, that sounds like a good symposium. And here comes the cat.
Yeah. And, we just started the planning. We're doing the planning now for the Net Zero project down there at Prairie Island. So we're doing a lot of the planning. We're going to be bringing on some tribal members on that project. So for those of you that are listening from Prairie Island community, going to be in touch with you guys down there pretty shortly. So we're going to be hiring some people to help us build this project. This is going to be an exciting project. It's a $46 million net zero project that we're going to be doing there with the state of Minnesota. And of course, the Prairie Island community down there. So it's pretty exciting, Robert.
Hey, Robert, when we got to change the name of the show, Robert. when you say net zero, are you talking about like windows, more insulated windows, things like that? The whole gambit? Is that what when you talk about net zero?
Yeah. So like we're going to be doing a lot of work, you know, within the homes too, within the buildings, the entire community. And we're going to try and bring down that energy usage to net zero, meaning that we're going to go under the usage of fossil fuels and or nuclear down there, because the nuclear, you know, power plant is right across the way there. So what's really going to be cool is you're going to be able to look at all those solar panels, and in the background, you're going to see that nuclear power plant. But, you know, I think that's the future, right? So to me, that's the future, at least. So that's kind of what's kind of exciting about that, is replacing that old generation of energy with new renewable energy.
Now, one of the things that I've heard in the negative sense about, let's say, solar energy, how do you react to somebody saying, well, it costs so much money to make the panels and blah, 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 or it takes minerals to get the batteries. What is your response to some naysayer like that?
Well, I mean, you know, it's kind of like, you know, if you do nothing, nothing changes. You know what I mean? And so I think we have to look at the big picture, and, you know, is continuing down the same road that we're on with the inequality that we face in our society around fossil fuel. Around the fossil fuel industry. Is that necessarily, you know, what we want to continue to do? You know, we're only one group, really. We're the concentration of money is in one area, you know, or do we want that spread out, you know, in a more democratic way? So we're not only, so when we talk about climate change and we talk about, you know, all this stuff, you know, we're actually talking about, you know, uplifting communities too, with, you know, new jobs, new green jobs, new opportunities where, you know, we're distributing, you know, these energy resources all across the land and all across the country and all across communities where they all can benefit from it, right? So, is there going to be some collateral damage? Is there going to be some, some areas that, you know, I guess we do consider sacrifice zones? I'm almost positive, Robert, that that's going to happen because that's happening right now. But do we continue on that same trek, and change and try to make the planet healthier? Because we did a lot of damage. We got to clean it up now. That's the bottom line. We did so much damage to this planet that now we have to start doing what's right for it and start cleaning it up. So this is just one of the ways that we have to do it. So that's what I say to those people that, you know, are against this transition.
Well, and I'll also say that, you know, things are getting better. Do you still have the same calculator you had 50 years ago? Or you know, are the batteries eventually going to be made out of hemp? Possibly, but there has to be money moving in order for that to happen. Money has to be moving in and out before these businesses look more greener and do things differently, and the technology's catching up.
Yep, and absolutely, Robert. And that's where all of you and the listeners come into play here, right? Because you dictate where you want to spend your money, where you want to invest your money. And what Wall Street is getting the signals now of is that the people that are investing their earnings now are very conscientious of where their money is landing at. And so it's no longer just landing into the perfect return on investment. They're actually thinking about, I want my money to land in areas that's going to make a difference in society, such as, you know, renewable energy jobs or communities or, you know, more projects like that. So, you know, that's what's really changing. And so you see a big rush of money coming out of fossil fuels and into the renewable energy industry now and into green jobs and green careers. And so that's what's really exciting now, right? We have a new kind of investor, you know. They're looking at the long-term picture. They want a world that they can grow up in, where they can live in and they can go ahead and thrive in. And that's really what's happening. So that's why all of everybody that's listening right now and you know, where we play a really important role. I know that and a lot of my investments, Robert, I'm investing in solar panels, I'm investing in batteries, I'm investing in like all this technology that a financial manager would look at me and think I'm crazy, but I believe in it, and this is where I want my retirement money parked at, and that's what I'm doing.
Right on. You know, Wendy and I were talking. I was in New York with her this last weekend, and we were saying that there's been no snow in the last 14 months in New York City, and that is so unlike them, and it's a frightening time. So investing in things that aren't burning up our world, which it is, you know, I talk about it. It's like, hey, we have to, you know, save this and that. And it's like, no, we need this stuff because the planet is burning. You know, I don't care how much money we're going to save on solar. The planet's burning. We got to do something different.
And you think about it too, Robert. Like, I think about Spike Lee when he says, wake up. You know, he always says that in his movies, wake up. Like, that's what we really have to do. We really have to wake up and look around and start looking at, you know, the environment around us and really see that it's not like it used to be. You know, I just read an article where it was the coldest place on Earth for the last 1,000 years. It is now getting warm there. It is now like warm in this area that they've been tracking for 1,000 years. It's always been cold or whatever. Now it's warm. Like, this is crazy, Robert. This is crazy. So like, we really need to wake up and really need to understand that we have to start taking action now, and only we can do it. And we need strong leadership. We need policymakers. We need to vote them in, right? And people need to speak up at the polls. They need to speak with their wallets. They need to buy electric vehicles. We need to put solar panels out there. And we need to support this transition where the whole community thrives and succeeds along with this transition.
Amen to that. We're at a turning point in many, many ways in this country, as Native people, we're at a turning point here. And I think the Native nations are leading the way because there's funding out there for these kind of projects now. So I'm really excited.
Well, and just think about it, Robert. You're an elected official. You're the one that set up that meeting with your nation, right? And we told them, and we were honest with them, and we told them we didn't hold back on anything. You know what I mean? Because this is something that you can't hold back on. You've got to let it all out there. You're going to have a lot of other developers that are going to sit there and say, oh, you can do this, you can do that. But I don't think that's the way to go. I think you just throw it all out there. You let people make the best decisions that they can. And we try to move the needle and get this out to as many tribal nations and many people as possible, because I too believe that tribes can lead the way in this.
Yeah, and I've learned so much from you being on. How many years you've been on Native Roots Radio?
I think we're going on like 3 years. What do you think?
Yeah, well, as a regular, but we've had you on many times, and then we both did our trek to Iowa during the first Native American presidential forum.
I think Wendy, when was that? Was that like 3 years now or what?
I think it's about 3 years. It might even be more. You know, I think we all lost a year or two with COVID and our perception of a year or two has changed since then. I know mine has. So I don't know exactly.
Well, I can say this, Robert. You were listening to me back then when I was talking about all this. And it's so crazy how things are moving now. And how all this investment now is coming in from the feds into tribal nations, especially around renewable energy. Did you know that the people said that besides the Paris Climate Agreement, the IRA Act is the most important legislation for climate change ever in the history of the world? That's crazy.
That is crazy. Hey, we're with Robert Blake with Solar Bear Energy. With the solar news. Thank you so much for stopping in with your busy schedule. It's always, always a pleasure.
Oh!
We'll be hollowing next with Wendy's sacred animal portion. That was Bob Blake, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Stay with us.
Hey, Olgama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
COVID-19 is still here. It's not too late to get your booster. Staying up to date with vaccines can help you protect yourself from getting seriously ill from COVID-19. Get your booster at the 360 Colburn Clinic, operated by St. Paul Ramsey County Public Health, for a chance to win one of five $500 Visa gift cards. Each week in January, a winner will be selected from eligible persons age 5 and up who got their COVID-19 booster. To learn more and schedule your appointment, visit ramseycounty.us/booster.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves. Please join Howling for Wolves on Wolf Day, Tuesday, February 7th, 2023, at the Minnesota State Capitol. You can sign up on Howling for Wolves event page. Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl! Howl! Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, we're here with Wendy with our sacred animal portion of the show. Wendy, good to see you and great to have you on the show as always.
Yeah, thank you. Hi, everybody. My name is Hanaji Hihani, and that means cares for them. I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajinga, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the state and local level, and it's always my pleasure to do that. We have a couple of things going on, so I just want to remind everybody about Howling for Wolves and Wolf Day at the state capitol, and again, that is on Tuesday, February 7th. You could sign up to be in person. I will be there in person, or you could sign up to be online. So you would have an online meeting with your legislators, and you're going to ask them to please save our Minnesota wolves and to keep them safe. And we do not want a mandatory wolf hunt in Minnesota. So that's what we're asking for. So if you can please sign up and do that, we'd all appreciate it. The other thing, Robert, and you know I've done this many, many times. I was trying to remember today how many times the Humane Society of the United States is hosting an event on Wednesday, February 15th, 2023. That's coming up really soon, Humane Lobby Day. Yeah. So Humane Lobby Day is another day at the Minnesota State Capitol where we all gather. Again, there is a online option if you choose not to be there in person. I will be there in person. I just signed up for it today. And what we're going to do, again, that's on Wednesday, February 15th. We're going to talk to our legislators about a couple of bills that we want them to be aware of so that when the bills come in front of them, the legislators will say, oh, yeah, I know. I just had some constituents come and talk to me about these bills, and it's really important to them that I either oppose or approve these bills, depending on what it is. I don't know what they are yet. We're going to find out soon. But we want you to register by February 1st. That's the last day to register. The last day to register is Monday, February 13th. We need you to register so that they could make appointments with your legislators and you could just talk to them about these bills. And it's really important. I think it costs $10 to register. And the $10 goes towards the rental of the church that's across the street where we have the meetings beforehand and the janitor who puts all the chairs away and also for lunch. So it's a pretty good deal for $10. So it's a lot of fun. You meet a lot of people who are like-minded and care about animals. And these are bills that are really important that could really have an impact on animals and animals' lives. It's really important to do that. But not only in Minnesota are there things to do. All over the United States, the Humane Society of the United States hosts different events, Humane Lobby Day, in different times of the year. So you could go on and check in your state what's going on and how you could help animals. In Indiana, I just want to bring this up. It's really important. Indiana, right now, there's a dangerous bill that's going to be coming across legislators' desks. It's Senate Bill 134. And House Bill 1121. And what this dangerous bill can do is it can nullify all the current ordinances that Indiana has in place for pet stores, right? Not to sell dogs and cats that are derived from puppy mills. That could all end. There's somebody out there who wants this bill to go through. I'm sure it's somebody who owns puppy mills or something like that. I don't know. But if you live in Indiana or you know somebody who lives in Indiana, please ask them just to give their legislators a quick call. Most of the time, you don't even talk to your legislators. When you call them, you call them. There's either a voicemail or the legislative assistant will answer the phone. And all you have to say is I want my legislator, so-and-so's name, to please oppose, you know, Senate Bill 134 and House Bill 1121. We that's all we need, right, is to have more pet stores around selling dogs and cats that are coming from these horrible, horrible puppy mills. So if you can do that, that would be great. And that's in Indiana. The other thing I want to talk about, you know, as Robert mentioned earlier, I am in Long Beach, New York. It's on Long Island, the south shore of Long Island. And I'm by the beach, by the ocean. And, you know, I'm walking around every day on the boardwalk and even on the sand. It was pretty nice today, 50 degrees and sunny. But I see a lot of litter. And mostly what I see is plastic film, films that are just, you know, blowing around in the street, by the ocean. And Robert, this is going to be like free advertisement for the service that we use, but I think it's like so important. And I just love it. It's called Ridwell, R-I-D-W-E-L-L. And it's a service that helps you recycle things that your regular recycling company does not recycle. One of the items is plastic film, and plastic film covers everything, literally, right? You buy a loaf of bread, that's that plastic film that covers the loaf of bread. You buy toilet paper, paper towels, that plastic that it's wrapped in, that's plastic film. Garbage bags, you know, bubble wrap, the plastic kind of containers that Amazon, you get from Amazon. So these are all plastic film. And I'm telling you, you know, we use this service. You have to pay for it. I feel it's pretty reasonable. It's $16 a month. And I feel like, the, you know, not everyone could afford $16 a month, but I feel like if you can afford the $16 a month and Ridwell is in your area, you should sign up for it, because I can't even tell you how many bags of recycled items. And I feel like I'm like, oh my God, I have this big bag of plastic film, and I know it's not going to end up in the landfill. It's not going to land in the street or the oceans and pollute the animals and the, you know, the whales and all the seabirds and everything that get tangled up in this stuff, right? It also takes other things like batteries, light bulbs. Yeah. So it's fantastic. They take styrofoam. And I really, really love Ridwell. So free advertisement for Ridwell. But,
well, maybe we should give them a call and see if they want to support the show.
Exactly. I think the end, you play this piece that I just broadcasted here and let them know that, well, you know, it's like free advertisement.
It's like the yellow Volkswagen syndrome. We walk our neighborhood, Wendy, and then we see these Ridwell containers, which is a nice little square kind of, it's nice looking, and it's right on your stairs. And but it's funny, we see them and go, oh my God.
If people are old enough, I'm old enough to remember this, the milkman, and you had the milk crates in the front of your house. That's exactly what it looks like. Like when the milkman came to deliver the milk. Now I'm really aging myself.
My sister kind of looked like the milkman. Oh, just kidding. That's an old joke too.
But yeah, we also, you know, and again, I saw a couple of balloons, pop balloons with strings on the balloons. And I know it's probably it's probably, you know, somebody's sending up balloons to a loved one in heaven, but balloons don't go to heaven. They end up in the streets. They end up in our oceans. They're polluting everything. So let's find a different way to celebrate our loved ones who have passed. But that is my segment for tonight.
Hey, great segment as always. Good to see you on the show. And also, what a great show we had tonight.
Yeah, excellent. Yes, a lot of good stuff going on in Indian country.
Definitely. Hey, if you're listening to the show, you're part of the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops, the ground on which we stand on, it's sacred ground. It is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, and run for office. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
Free Leonard Peltier.
Now.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which is audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.